Hi, everyone, and welcome to week two of the Self-Love Adventure course. I'm glad to have you with us. And we are going to be getting into a kind of a big week today. Typically, weeks two and week five are the big weeks. There's a lot of processing done because this week we're going to talk about the things that you don't like about yourself. And oftentimes that can be pretty emotional. So this is probably going to be one of the bigger weeks, and then week five we get into the people that taught us that we shouldn't love ourselves, and forgiving them and going through those experiences can also be pretty big. So if you are, if this brings up tears for you or, in some intense emotions, that's good. That means you're processing things, that you're letting energy out. If it doesn't bring it up for you, that's fine too. It doesn't mean you're doing it wrong. It just means that you process things in a different way. But the idea that today, this week is kind of big, brings me to one of the questions I got from one of our group participants in an email since our last course. And she was saying that the last week just didn't seem that big of a deal to her. Didn't seem to bring up a lot of things, didn't seem to really trigger anything for her. And so I wanted to kind of address that. I emailed her back, but I thought it would be a good thing to address with everyone. So one thing to note is that each person in this class is coming from a different perspective, and each week is going to affect each of you differently. For some people, week two is going to be the biggest week. Some people, week five is going to be the biggest week. Some people, it could have been week one. And you may be listening to me thinking, what? Week one was huge for me. And that's why we have all of the weeks, because I don't know for certain which week you need the most, but I do know that all of these weeks are important. And even if you don't feel a huge aha, you are still shifting energy and beliefs and emotions that are related to self-love. So I would recommend that you just go through with the process. If you don't have much heart to do because you just don't bring up that many emotions, that's fine. Just do what you need to do and then move forward. And if it's a really big week, be happy about that, because that means it's really getting to the heart of a lot of your issues. So don't expect everything to be the same each week, which is a good thing. That means that you're figuring out what you need personally. And then the other thing is, last week, I know a lot of you were on the webinar prior to the course. We actually did a good bit of this work from week one on the webinar. So if you did the tapping along with me on the webinar, then you may have already processed what we did in week one. And for those of you who weren't on the webinar, it was new to you, and it may have felt like a bigger, more important week for you. So that could also be part of the reason. If you already cleared it, then when you revisit it again, it's just not going to feel like that big of a deal, which is also a good thing, because that means you really got to the heart of what was there for you. So that would be two things to consider. And then the third thing is, another really important aspect of last week was learning to use the tapping phrase generator, because you're going to need that throughout the entire course. So I spent a little more time talking about how that worked in the first week so that you have it down pat for the rest of the weeks, because we're going to use it again this week and so on. So it's important, even if you didn't feel you really need to clear anything from last week, it's important to be able to learn how to tap and use the phrase generator so you know exactly what words to say and how to say it. So that's a little review of what you may have been experiencing, and this may not have, what I just said, made any impact on you because you thought week one was great, and then that's great too. So, but just in case it happens in any future week, you know why, and you know what's going on, you know how to interpret it. And then I had another question about when I did the volunteer tapping with Donna, which was a different tapping on someone's specific issues versus the general tapping that I did in the webinar. It was more complicated, for lack of a better word. It wasn't the basic formula that I've taught you, where you say the name of the emotion as you tap through each point and you just keep repeating the name of the emotion. And I did more of a free form version, and if someone asked, that just sounded way too hard to me. Well, the good news is you do not need to learn that at all. I only knew the basic version for the first several years of tapping, and I still saw amazing results. Now, yes, after 10 plus years of tapping, I've learned a few things, and I can make things happen a little bit faster, figure out some issues that are more specific to that person, move things more because I'm an expert at this. And so that's one of the reasons to take advantage of the tapping along with me. But for no means do you need to put any pressure on you to learn how to do that yourself. You do not need to do tapping like I do in order to see results. I'm teaching you the basic formula. And one of the amazing, most amazing things about EFT is that it can be taught very quickly and have great results right off the bat. So let's just say you're getting 60 to 70% of the benefits, and then working with a practitioner on your specific issues can amplify that, but you're still getting amazing benefits by doing the tapping on your own. Additionally, when you can combine the two, it's even more powerful. So when you do the tapping on your own between sessions, and then you tap along with me during the sessions, then it's more than just a sum of its parts. It's much more powerful. So you're really getting the best of both worlds by having me lead you through some of the tapping and then doing the work on your own. And as I pointed out in the intro chapter, which maybe not all of you read, even if the issue that I'm tapping on with a volunteer is not your issue, if it's not something that bothers you, go ahead and tap on it anyway. Just tap along just like you, like we did last week with Donna. Just go ahead and tap like you're Donna. Because it will work, and I can't explain how. We don't know how it works. It will work on your own issue, even if it's not the same. And I have seen this over and over and over again in all the classes, both live and virtual, that I've taught. And everyone, I still think it's weird. The participants think it's weird, but it works. So that's what matters in the end. So go ahead and tap along with us. Do the tapping on your own according to the phrase generator. And then if you ever feel like doing a more, I don't want to call it complicated because it's not complicated, it's just advanced. If you feel like doing a more advanced tapping, doing more of a stream of consciousness tapping, as you get more comfortable with it, go for it. And you can always go back to the basic tapping if you're stuck for what to say. But one of the main reasons people don't do tapping on their own is because they don't know what to say. So using these tools that I've given you, you know exactly what to say, and it's personalized, it's customized for you, instead of a tapping script, which is not customized. So that's my little spiel on the basic version versus the freeform version. And then I just encourage you to take advantage of being live on a call with me and volunteer to be the echo and be the person whose issue we tap on. Because it's always, I have my own EFT coach. I mean, because I can't be objective about my own stuff. So I have to have someone else help me. And it's so much fun to be tapped with by an expert. So I definitely take advantage of it. And for those of you who are enrolled in the ongoing calls for the rest of the year, you'll have opportunity then if for some reason you can't make the times during this call or during this session, during this course. So that is hopefully answers some of your questions, maybe addresses some of you how you're feeling. We have a number of you that have joined the Facebook group. That's great. If you have not, please friend me on Facebook so I can add you to the group. And then let's get into the material. I'm just going to check real quick to see if anyone has typed in any questions, just in case. If you're on the webcast or if you have the webcast going, you can always type questions into the little box, and then I can review them. Okay, no questions. Nobody's raised their hand. So let's keep going. So today we are going to talk about the things that we don't like about ourselves. And we often use these things that we think are wrong with us, that are bad about us, as to mean that because we have them, that we ourselves are not lovable, that we shouldn't love ourselves until those things are gone, or in other terms, until we're perfect. Now, I know if I asked anyone on this course to raise their hand if they are ever going to be perfect, everyone knows no one's perfect, no one is ever going to be perfect. But for some reason, knowing that does not translate into our heads. So we still think that we should be doing better in a number of areas of our lives. And we also think that by withholding love from ourselves and by punishing ourselves, if not by actual actions, it could come in the form of sabotage. It could come in the form of this inner mean girl or inner critic that constantly is telling you everything bad about yourself. we think that is somehow, even though it's never worked before, it's somehow going to make us better or help us solve our issues and then make us perfect. And it never does work. It never has worked, but we keep doing it. And we're basically in a habit of it. So we need to learn to break the habit of berating ourselves and constantly putting ourselves down, because it doesn't help anyone. It doesn't help you. It doesn't help anyone around you. No one, if you think about it, if you were next to a complainer all the time, and we've all been there, we've had that relative or friend or somebody, colleague that we've had to be around who just complains nonstop, it is a drag. It is so draining. But basically what's going on in our head is we're complaining about ourselves. Now, we're doing it silently. No one else can hear it, but it's the same thing. It's a total drag on your energy. And I know you know this. I know you know, yes, I don't want that voice. Yes, I know I'm never going to be perfect. Yes, I know that truly I really am lovable, even though I don't know how that works. But, yes, I know logically or conceptually that that's true. But how do I get there? And that's what we're doing on this course. So we talked about giving ourselves permission to go on this adventure. And now this week we're going to try to let go of the attachment we have to our faults, because we're pretty attached to them. For a lot of us, it's part of our identity, a part of who we are. I am a person who, fill in the blank. I am an overweight person. I am a lazy person. I'm an impatient person. I am a complainer. I am, I have a whole bunch of great, I'm going to have to look it up, what I put in the workbook, all the different things that we say about ourselves, that we just believe, I'm a pushover. That's a big one for a lot of women, that we don't hold our boundaries, and we get mad at ourselves for not doing it. And when it happens again, there we go, beating ourselves up. I'm such a pushover. I should have said no. I don't follow through. That's another big one. You know, you get an idea and you think it's great, and then it just dies. And so you get mad at yourself because I never follow through. All my life, I've always started things and I've never finished them. And then we start this story in our head about who we are based on these things that have happened. I'm messy. I'm negative. I'm sedentary. I'm stupid. And sometimes they're related to specific instances. Maybe we don't think we're stupid all the time, but we might say things like, I'm stupid with my finances. Or I'm negative about my job, or I'm a pushover with my kids. So it may not be a blanket statement about who we are in all situations, but it may be in specific situations. So these are stories that we've told ourselves, and we have an attachment to them because we have defined ourselves by these things that we don't like about ourselves. And just to let them go, it's like, well, if I let that go, then who am I? I don't even know. So it doesn't feel comfortable to let them go. So what we're going to work on is not letting them go. It doesn't mean that you were never lazy. We're going to tap and you're never going to remember ever having been lazy, or that suddenly you are a brilliant financier. It just means it doesn't bother you like it bothers you now. There's no attachment to it, no emotional intensity around these thoughts about yourself. It's kind of like, you know, we all have friends that have flaws, but for some reason, you know, we don't beat them up like we beat ourselves up. So we all have that friend who's late. And I guarantee you, every time she's late, you don't spend the next 5 minutes. You are so late. Why are you always so late? You're so stupid for being late. You know better. You knew better than that. You could have just gotten ready earlier. Why did you have to start that solitaire game at 5 o'clock when you knew you had to be somewhere at 6 o'clock? That was so dumb of you. We don't say that to our friends, but that's what's going on in our head, and we say to ourselves. So we accept the flaws or the faults or the less desirable traits in our friends, and we don't go on and on about it. Now, if it's your spouse or a child, sometimes you do go on and on about it. That's true. But in general, we have a tolerance for flaws in other people that we don't have in ourselves, and we're not emotionally attached to them. And especially if you think about it, like someone that doesn't matter to you at all. So it could be a person on a different department at work, or somebody on TV, and you might think, oh, they're so whatever, but we don't care about it. We don't think about it. It doesn't involve us emotionally. It's just a fact, and that's the end of it. It starts and ends as a fact. There's no emotion attached to it. So it's getting that objectivity and that distance from our faults that the tapping will help us to do. So with that explanation, hopefully you'll understand where we're going with this. I'm not saying you're going to hide your head in the sand and pretend that you've never experienced these things or acted in these ways. We're removing it from our identity of who we are. And one of the things that we didn't get to last session, but we're going to get to this session, is clearing memories. Because we often, with our perceived faults, we have all these examples of when we displayed that character trait that we don't like. And those memories are proof that we are unlovable because we did X, Y, and Z. Sometimes it could be a really painful, you know, very unacceptable thing that we did. You know, maybe we purposely hurt someone. Or it can be something we did inadvertently or something where we just don't have the skills. But we remember that event and we hold on to it as proof that we're not lovable. So we're going to also use the clearing memories techniques so that we can let go of all these, you know, very specific situations where these traits were a big part of, and let go of our attachment to those memories as well. So let's look at the workbook together. We're going to look at module 2. It's the accepting my bad. And this one has an extra step than what we did last week, because first we just want to define what are our character traits that we don't like about ourselves. Okay, so then we're just going to make a list. And you can always come back and add to this list. But all you're going to do is just make a list of everything you don't like about yourself. It can be a big thing. It could be a tiny thing. And if it pops in your head, go ahead and write it down. And that's what you're going to write in table 2A under character traits that bother me. Just anything about yourself that you don't like. And so it could be the pushover. It could be the lack of follow through, the negativity, the lack of self-confidence. Like, you know, there could be some things about yourself that maybe other people wouldn't dislike you for, but it just really bugs you that you don't have self-confidence because you really think you should, and it just makes you mad that you don't. So you might want to write that down. Impatience, or, you know, maybe you don't come across very well. You know, you're nervous in front of people for the first time when you're meeting people, and you don't present yourself as well as you know you could, and you feel like you look kind of silly or foolish. So, you know, write that down. If that's something that really bothers you, like, I wish I could just, you know, be more comfortable around people when I first meet them. You know, and that's a failing of mine, and I hate that about myself. Write that down. Anything that you just wish you could just really, really change, and it would just make your life easier if you could change it, go ahead and write that down. Now, if it's something like, you know, I'm too short, that's fine. But if it's like, I wish I could be 1 inch taller, well, there's probably not much emotion attached to it. It's more kind of like a wish list kind of thing. So if you don't really feel any, like, yeah, that would be nice if I could wave a magic wand. I'm 5'4". I kind of wish I was 5'6". Okay, I'm not going to write that down because I don't have a complex about being short. Because actually, did you know that I am the average height? I'm actually 5'3¾". That is the actual average height of women in the United States. So I'm completely average, so it's not a big deal, but I'm just saying, this isn't a wish list of all the perfect ways that you could be. These are character traits that really do bother you. Now, it can be a physical trait. You know, if you are overweight and that really bothers you, write that down. But if you don't like your nose, write it down. So it can be something physical. But it's not the opposite of perfection. It's not every way that you're not perfect. It's things that actually bother you. I feel like I said that 5 times, so hopefully you understand that. So you're going to write those down in 2A. For right now, just write down a couple, just so that we can tap together on some of them, and you can get an idea of this process. So say you've written down 3 things. Most everybody can come up with 3 things really quickly. You can probably fill this page in about 20 minutes if you wanted to. So go ahead and write down in column 1 your character trait that you don't like. And then you just want to say out loud, I am, or I have, or, you know, however grammatically makes sense to you, your character trait. And then just check in with that gut level response of a 0 to 10 of how much intensity is there around that issue. I am overweight. How much pressure and intensity and anxiety do you feel when you say that sentence? On a scale of 0 to 10, 0 meaning no pressure, no anxiety whatsoever. It's just like saying I'm blonde, okay? That's just a statement of fact. Or it's something that really, really, really bothers me, and then that's going to be a 10. So however many character traits you wrote down, just just do 0 to 10 intensity on the, you know, two or three or four that you wrote down already. And you're just going to put that in your first column. And this is going to be like last week. We're going to pick the one that has the highest intensity. We're going to circle it, and then that's the one we're going to work on for the first round of tapping. So after you've written down your number and you circled the one that's the highest number, and again, if you have more than one that's at the same high number, just pick one. It doesn't matter. Well, we're going to get to them all. And you're going to take the name of that character trait, and you're going to go down to Table 2B, which is the next page. And this is about how these character traits make you feel about yourself. So let's say you picked number 2, which is I'm a pushover. So you rated it an 8, and that was the highest rating. So you come down and you write in the first table on Table 2B, character trait number 2, pushover. And then now you're going to identify the emotions. And remember, this is really the gold of EFT, is clearing emotions, because that's really where the energy is. And we have to really understand the emotions that come up when we identify with something, because it's clearing those emotions that clears the intensity of the actual character trait. So I'm a pushover, and I feel what? What are your emotions? And you're going to write down, I put space for 4 if you need more room. You can go into the next table if you need to. But just write down a few that you feel. So maybe if you feel you're a pushover, you feel frustrated. You feel weak. Maybe you feel weak. Maybe you feel embarrassed, because everyone knows they can get away with anything for you, and that doesn't feel good. Those I'm just coming up with those off the top of my head of ways you might feel if you feel you're a pushover. So just go ahead and write in a few of your emotions that you feel because of this character trait. And then we're going to do the same thing. We're going to rate those emotions on a scale of 0 to 10. And you're going to say out loud, I feel embarrassed, or whatever your emotion is, because I am, and then your character trait. So I feel embarrassed because I am a pushover. I feel weak because I am a pushover. So you're going to say each sentence out loud. And you're going to use that gut response again for level 0 to 10, with 0 meaning no intensity whatsoever, and 10 meaning extreme intensity on that emotion. And then you're going to pick the one that's the highest, and then we're going to go to our tapping phrase generator. So ideally what's going to happen is after the course is over, you're going to go through and you're going to go back to Table 2A, and you're going to write in all your character traits. And you may need to revisit this. More things may come up as you're tapping. And if that happens, just write it in. Write it in on your character trait and come back to it later. You know, don't get distracted, but write it down so you don't have to remember. And then you can always come back to it later because it'll be on the paper there for you. So once we're done, you're going to go through, write down all your character traits, rate them all, then transfer. You're probably going to need several pages of 2B to go through them all. Write down the emotions for the most intense one. Once you've cleared that, then you go back and pick, re-rate them again in the second column, and then pick the next highest, and then bring it down, write down the name of the emotions, and go to the tapping phrase generator. Once you've cleared that new character trait, you go back and pick the next one. And so each time you're going to clear all the emotions for each character trait, come back, re-rate, pick another one, clear all the emotions, come back, re-rate. And as you remember last week when we did this with Donna, we had like 3 or 4 things written down, and they were all at a certain number. And then after we cleared one of them, two of the other ones came down drastically, and one of them didn't change. So it was important that we re-rated after we did a round of tapping, because it really changed the order in which you would have gone. So doing the re-rating helps you focus on the thing that is causing you the most intensity at that time after you've cleared some things. So just keep going in order. It's a very methodical process, very structured, which is, I know, helpful for a lot of you. And you just keep doing them one at a time. I would suggest, you know, trying to do at least one character trait a day between now and our next class. So that means taking the character trait with the highest number, identifying the emotions, and then tapping on the emotion with the highest number. And then going back and tapping on the next emotion, rewriting the character trait, and then picking the next one. And you can use the technique we learned last week about where do you feel it in your body? And then you can use a technique again that we're going to learn this week about clearing the memories associated with that character trait. The tabbing phrase generator at table 2C is exactly the same as last week. You just put in, even though I feel embarrassed because I am a pushover, I completely love and accept myself. You just fill in the blanks. And then you do your tapping through the sequence where this embarrassment. And you just keep doing that, and it will, you know, you'll eventually clear through the emotions, and every, you know, it'll all, you know, you'll just feel the release as you go down through each emotion and each character trait. It'll just get smaller and smaller. So with that, I think we're ready to do some tapping. And let's see how many people. We only have a few people on the call today. If you want to be a live volunteer, please hit star 2. We have a few people on the webcast. And no questions written in yet. So star 2 for volunteers. Just going to call on someone. Now, I can see Donna's on the call because I recognize her number. I really would like to do someone else because we already did Donna. So I'm going to see, I don't know who this person is because it's not a name of someone that is in the course. It's a different name, and I don't know who it is. But you know what I'm going to need to do is my cell phone is not charging. I have it plugged into the charger, but it's not recognizing the charger. So I'm getting low on battery, and I don't want to drop off. What's going on? So I may be getting my, I'll have to get my other phone. I don't know what's happening. Okay, so anyway, I'm going to unmute this person, and you can tell me if you don't want to do it, if you don't want to be live. This is a 740 number. Who is this person, 740, that is dialed in? Would you like to be a live volunteer?
I know.
Hello? Yeah, I can just barely hear you. Did you say something? Okay, well, I can't hear you, so I'm going to put you back on mute, even though it doesn't really matter. It looks like, Donna, it's going to be you again because I only have a couple people on the line. Donna?
Oh. Hello?
Hello? Donna?
Yeah, can you hear me?
I can. Thank you for being a faithful caller in. I appreciate it. The other person, I could barely hear. I heard one word, and that was it. So if you were saying something, I apologize. I would love to have you on as a volunteer, but I just can't hear you. Donna, are you ready to volunteer again?
It looks like I am.
Okay. So what did you have written down for the character traits, you know, just one or two things that you immediately wrote down that you think would be good to tap on?
Well, my highest one was negative self-talk.
Okay. All right. So that you really get mad at yourself because of that.
Yeah. I don't even get mad. I feel, what did I write down here? I felt beat down, confused, burdened, tired when that happened.
And which of those was the highest, of beat down, confused, and tired?
I'm going to say beat down.
Okay, it's
probably about a 9.
A 9, okay, that's a pretty high number, so that's a good one
to start.
Yeah.
And now I'm on my other phone, so I will not have to worry about the power going off. Okay, so beat down, and let's just start with that. So if you can see, Donna started with negative self-talk. That's her character trait. That's what she would have written down in table 2A. Then she would have taken that down because it was the highest, to table 2B, and she identified some emotions, And that was a 9. But let's go ahead and write down, Donna, with the other ones, just so when we re-rate, we see where we are.
All right. I had confused, tired, and burdened. Burdened and beat down are kind of the same thing, I guess. I don't know. Maybe there's a little bit difference there.
Okay, and what is your confused? What number is your confused?
About an 8.
Okay, and what about, and beat down we said was a 9, and what was burdened?
Burdened is about an 8.
Okay, and tired?
Is about a 7.
A 7, okay. So we're just going to, and you just wanted to pick beat down, because you had 3 that were at 8, and you just decided to pick that one, which is great. And then let's, so that was negative self-talk, and what is the overall number on just the negative self-talk? I have negative self-talk.
It was a 10.
That's a 10. Okay, and what was another one, if you can give me one other thing for character trait?
No, I'll give you another 10. Stepping out of my comfort zone. I'm afraid to step out of my comfort zone.
Okay. And that's also a 10.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great. I mean, not great that it's a 10, but thank you for telling me. okay, so let's do, again, I'm just going to start out with a very basic round of tapping, just so you guys remember exactly how that goes, and then we're going to get into the more advanced version so that you can experience that as well. And just Donna's going to be the echo, and you can just tap as, you know, just echo with Donna. So just say exactly what Donna says. And then you're going to already have your numbers written down, and then when we re-rate, I want you to re-rate your number also, because you'll see that it goes down too. It may not go down as much as Donna's, but it will go down some. It's weird. I can't explain it, like I said, but it's cool. So, Donna, let's start with, even though I feel beat down because I have negative self-talk.
Even though I feel beat down because I have negative self-talk.
I completely and deeply love and accept myself.
I completely and deeply love and accept myself.
Good. Even though I feel beat down because of my negative self-talk.
Even though I feel beat down because of my negative self-talk.
And I forgot to tell everyone, you're tapping on the side of your hand right now, the karate chop point between your pinky and your wrist. I completely love and accept myself.
Completely love and accept myself.
Even though I feel beat down because I have negative self-talk.
Even though I feel beat down because I have negative self-talk.
I completely and deeply love and accept myself.
I completely and deeply love and accept myself.
Good. Okay. So then we're going to, the feeling is beat down. So we are going to then just tap on that through the sequence points. So starting with your eyebrow point, beat down.
Beat down.
Side of your eye, beat down.
Beat down.
Under your eye, beat down.
Beat down.
Under your nose, beat down.
Beat down.
Chin, beat down.
Beat down.
Collarbone, beat down.
Beat down.
Under your arm, beaten down.
Beaten down.
Top of your head, beaten down.
Beaten down.
Okay, so that was, it sounds kind of funny when you say the same word over and over again. the word kind of loses its meaning at points, but it does help. So, Donna, I want you to say, we just did that one time, and that's going to be your pattern for your homework. But I want you to go ahead and just re-rate it, see if it changed at all, just so we know where we are. So go ahead and say, I feel beaten down because I have negative self-talk.
I feel beaten down when I have negative self-talk.
Okay, and what's your number?
You know, that actually went down quite a bit.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know why, but it did. It went down to about a 6.
A 6? Okay. Yeah, that was for such a short period of time to go down 2 is crazy.
Yeah.
So, good. Okay, but we're going to keep working on it because we want to get that down to about a 2 before we go on to the next emotion. So, let's go again, and this time we'll just do a little more advanced tapping. So, tapping on the side of your hand, even though I still feel beaten down by my negative self-talk.
Even though I still feel beaten down by my negative self-talk.
I completely love and accept myself.
I completely love and accept myself.
Even though I still feel beaten down by my negative self-talk.
Even though I still feel beaten down by my negative self-talk.
I completely love and accept myself.
I completely love and accept myself.
Even though I still feel beaten down by my negative self-talk.
Even though I still feel beaten down by my negative self-talk.
I completely love and accept myself.
I completely love and accept myself.
Okay, so tapping through the points, starting with your eyebrow. This feeling of being beaten down. Beaten down by myself. I'm the one beating myself down. I have to say the points. Under your eye, it's exhausting. Under your nose, all of this negative self-talk. 10, I just get so tired of it. Collarbone, I just feel so beaten down. Under your arm, and I have no one to blame but myself. Top of your head, it's constant. Eyebrow, why do I do this to myself? Side of your eye, it's no fun. Under your eye, it doesn't help. Under your nose, it just makes me feel so beaten down. Chin, I would never do this to a friend of mine. Collarbone, I wouldn't even do it to an enemy. Under your arm, it's just not right. Top of your head, and I judge myself for it. Eyebrow, because I know I could stop. Side of your eye, but I don't. Under your eye, I keep saying bad things to myself. Under your nose, I keep judging myself. Chin, and I won't shut up about it. Collarbone, I just keep saying it over and over. Under your arm, even though I know there's no good to come from it. Top of your head, it's like I can't stop. Eyebrow, this beaten down feeling. Side of your eye, this beaten down feeling. Under your eye, I wonder why I do it. Under your nose, there must be a good reason. Chin, I must think I'm helping myself in some way. Collarbone, I must think by calling my attention to my faults.
I must think by calling my attention to my faults.
Under your arm, that I'm less likely to do it again. Top of your head, but it doesn't work out that way. Eyebrow, I know it was a strategy that I thought was good at one time. Side of your eye, but I know now it's not working. Under your eye, and I'm open to the idea of being a little softer about it. Under your nose, maybe I don't have to beat myself down quite so hard. Chin, maybe I could just beat myself down softly. Collarbone, take little baby steps. Under your eye, and stop judging myself, too. Top of your head, because I know that this beat down is there for a reason. Eyebrow, and I'm grateful for whatever reason that is. Side of your eye, I'm grateful for whatever help my mind thinks it's giving me. Under your eye, in whatever way it's trying to keep me safe. Under your nose, and I appreciate that that's what my body wants to do. Chin, so I drop my resistance to this negative self-talk. Collarbone, I drop my judgment to my negative self-talk. I drop my intensity to my negative self-talk. Top of your head and realize that this is a part of me. Eyebrow, right now. Side of your eye, doesn't mean it's always going to be this way. Under your eye, but there's a message for me in it right now. Under your nose, and I'm open to hearing that message. Chin, and I'm open to being gentler with myself.
collarbone, and I'm open to laughing at my self-talk. Side under your arm and seeing the humor in the ridiculous things it says. Top of your head. I'm open to observing with humor. Eyebrow and thinking, oh, there I go again. Side of your eye, there's my crazy negative self-talker. Under your eye,
boy, is she reliable.
Under your nose, what crazy things is she saying now? And that negative self-talker. A collarbone, this part of me. Under your arm. I accept her as part of me. Okay, take a deep breath. And now say your sentence again. I feel beat down because of my negative self-talk. Okay, what's your number?
It's about a 2.
About 2, great. Good. Now let's go to your other numbers. Confused. I feel confused because of my negative self-talk.
That's about a 1.
1, great. Burdened. I feel burdened because of my negative self-talk.
That one's up there.
Okay, so burden is still a big one. What number we've got there?
It's a 9 or 10.
So it actually went up because it had been an 8.
Yeah,
so something that we said felt triggered, and I have an idea about that. So we'll tap on that next. And then tired. I feel tired because of my negative self-talk. What's your number on that?
That's about a 0.
A 0. Okay, great. So she went way down on 3 of them, and she went up on 1 of them. So that's interesting, and I point that out because you never know what's going to happen. But this is all really good information, and we just keep doing the process. We just keep going. We reassess. We don't judge. We don't think, yes. I mean, well, I have to admit, I love it when things go down to a 2 or below. So I do get a little excited. I can't help that. But just because it went up, then I think, great, we're on to something. So there's always positive information. Now, if she stayed the same after all of that, then I might be like, huh, really? And then we'd have to reassess and think, okay, maybe these aren't the right emotions. Maybe we just need to do it longer. I would keep going. I would do at least another long round on that. And then I might do something. I'm open to releasing this and just see where that gets you. It may be that those aren't the actual emotions that are really what she's feeling. And maybe looking at that list will give you some more clarity on the negative emotions. So there's different things you can do if you aren't budging. But if you go up or down, you're definitely on the right track. If you stay the same after like 5 to 10 minutes, then you need to switch things up. So we're going to work on burdened. So let's do that. Even though, tapping on the side of your hand, even though I feel burdened because of my negative self-talk. I completely love and accept myself. Okay, so tapping through the points, starting with your eyebrow. This burden. Side of your eye. I'm carrying around this burden of self-talk. Under your eye. I don't want to carry this around anymore. Under your eye. Is this too much? Or, under your nose. It's just too much. Chin, it's a burden that I have to carry. Collarbone.
Even if I accept it, it's still heavy.
Under your arm, I still judge it as something heavy. Top of your head.
I wonder how I could make it lighter.
Eyebrow. I wonder how I can make it less of a burden. side of your eye. Wonder how I could shift it.
Wonder how I could shift it.
Under your eye. Sometimes it's just a matter of the way you carry something.
Sometimes it's just a matter of the way you carry something.
Under your eye, under your nose. Maybe I could carry it in a different way.
Maybe I could carry it in a different way.
Chin. Maybe I could shift it somewhere where it's not so heavy.
Maybe I could shift it somewhere where it's not so heavy.
Collarbone. Where it's easier to carry.
It's easier to carry.
Under your arm. Where it's a easier part of me.
An easier part of me.
Top of your head. Right now I'm kind of carrying it front and center.
Right now I'm kind of carrying it front and center.
Eyebrow. I'm kind of carrying it out in front of me.
I'm kind of carrying it out in front of me.
Side of your eye. It's not easy to carry something out in front of you.
Not easy to carry something out in front of you.
Under your eye. Like carrying a baby directly in front of you. It's hard.
Like carrying a baby directly in front of you. It's hard.
Under your nose. But bringing it into my body and cuddling it, that's a lot easier.
But bringing it into my body and cuddling it, it's a lot easier.
Chin, maybe I could cuddle up to my negative self-talk.
Maybe I could cuddle up to my negative self-talk.
Collarbone, and bring it close into me.
And bring it close into me.
Under your arm, and give it some loving attention.
And give it some loving attention.
Top of your head. And just feel really close to it.
And just feel really close to it.
Eyebrow, I wonder if I could carry it there.
I wonder if I could carry it there.
Side of your eye, instead of holding it out in front of me like it's something that's distasteful.
Instead of holding it out in front of me like it's something distasteful.
Under your eye, something that smells bad.
Something that smells bad.
Under your nose, I feel like I could bring it in and be so much kinder and gentler to it.
I feel like I could bring it in and be so much kinder and gentler to it.
Chin, and kind of welcome it as part of me.
And welcome it as part of me.
Under your arm. I'm open to the idea of cuddling up to my negative self-talk.
I'm open up to the idea of cuddling up to my negative self-talk.
Top of your head, and appreciating it for all that it does for me.
And appreciating it for all it does for me.
Eyebrow, and for letting it feel soft.
And letting it feel soft.
Side of your eye, and letting it feel funny.
Letting it feel funny.
Under your eye, like my adorable little granddaughter.
Like my adorable little granddaughter.
Chin, she's not a burden. Or no, she's not a burden.
She's not a burden.
Chin, I'm open to welcoming myself negative self-talk.
And I'm open to welcoming my negative self-talk.
Okay, take a deep breath. And say your sentence again. I feel burdened by my negative self-talk.
I feel burdened by my negative self-talk.
Okay, what's your number?
It's gone down to probably a 4 or 5.
A 4 or 5. Okay. So, good. That's a half. We have that. Great. So, now what I want to do is use the clearing memories technique. Now, this one is a little going to be, I really want to teach it, so it may not be the perfect fit for this burden feeling, but we'll make it fit. We'll find a way to make it fit. So, Donna, can you think of a time when it really felt like a burden? Is there a specific memory you have where you just felt really burdened by your negative self-talk?
Let me think.
And it could make no sense. Like, the memory you're going to tell me, it just comes up, and you're like, well, that doesn't really make any sense, but that's what came up.
I'm thinking of the school when I got, like, a bad grade.
Okay. And then what would you say to yourself?
I should have done better.
Mm-hmm. And would you say, like, I should have done X, Y, or Z, or is it just I should have done better, period?
I should have done better, period.
Okay. So can you remember a time when you specifically got a bad grade? Not just a general fuzzy memory of bad grades in general, but a specific time you got a bad grade.
Yeah, I do.
Okay. And so this is what we're going to do.
What happened then is the teacher accused me of cheating, and I hadn't. And
okay.
I had a bad grade anyway. I didn't get very good.
You're a poor cheater. Okay, so perfect.
In
so you're remembering. What's that?
Say
it again.
You did that in front of the class.
Right. Okay. So, yeah, that's very, very traumatic for a little kid. So if you go to the Clearing the Memories technique, which is the last couple pages of the chapter, we're going to be working on feeling burdened. And that's number one, what character trait are we working on? And number two is the memory that supports that belief, and that is her memory of being accused of being a cheater when she was in school. Okay? So I give some examples of how you should look at your memory. The memory should last for a few minutes. Okay? It's not going to be a really long two-hour memory, but you're going to break, if it is a two-hour event, you break it down into small chunks that are two to five minutes long. So you're working on small packets of memories as opposed to, you know, the time when my mom was sick, and that was a, you know, 6 month memory. You know, that you would, I would, you'd want to break those down into specific chunks from those memories that are 2 to 5 minutes. So Donna has it broken down to very specific memory of her teacher accusing her of cheating in front of everybody. So that's, it's a great fit for tapping. And we're going to give the memory. A name, like it's a movie. So this will be the time when the teacher accused me of cheating. And as I point out here, there may be multiple parts of the memory. So it could have been the time I saw my grade was bad. Then it could be another memory. It could be when the teacher accused me of cheating. And then the next memory could be when my parents found out. So there could be multiple parts to a memory, and each one you're going to tap separately. So you can see that, you know, like, just like we did with the tapping phrase generator, we want to be really methodical about our tapping and make sure we get through all the points, because if we jump around, it's just hit or miss, and we don't get the results that we see when we really drill down to the details and tap on the details one at a time. And it's like the example we always talk about in tapping. You have a forest, and you can't cut down a forest, but you can cut down the trees. So you start one tree at a time. And as you cut down one tree, it will knock down, as it falls, other trees. So you don't end up having to cut down every single tree in the forest, but you have to start with one tree. So that's what we're doing. We're starting with this one memory. So we have our name. And Donna, just thinking back to that memory, on a scale of 0 to 10, how much anxiety or emotion does that memory bring up for you?
About an 8.
An 8, okay. So we're just going to tap on the side of our hand, and I'm actually, what you're going to do, Donna, is you're going to, I'm not going to lead you through this. I'm going to let you lead me through it, because I can't tell you what happened in the memory. I can't lead you through this memory because I don't know it. So you're going to tell me in detail. You've already told me a few of the details. I'm just going to ask you clarifying questions to make it, you know, be drilled down as specific, and the whole time I want you to tap on the side of your hand, on the karate chop point, while you're telling me every single detail that you can think of. And then if there's a point in time when emotions start getting really strong, you can stop and just tap on that one little aspect.
Okay.
But otherwise, just telling the memory while tapping has such a great processing feel to it. Just to give you an example, I had one client who was involved. He was in New York during 9/11. And he, for 10 years, he'd been in and out of therapy. And he basically would lose the month of September because every single year, because he would become such an emotional mess that he would stay in his house, literally curled up in a ball. And he would not even remember days at a time because he was so affected. He was about a mile away from 9/11. And his, by for sure, it was traumatic. It's not the worst story that that came out of 9/11, so I can only imagine how bad it is for those other people. But it affected him so much. So we did two sessions, and we just went step by step, memory by memory, for the entire day before he even got to, he was in school, before he even went to school, just, you know, what was going on that day, what happened, you know, what did you wear, what, you know, obviously we knew the day and date. What was the weather like? How did you get to school? What happened when did you hear about it? What did you do? You know, we went step by step by step by step for we had to go through 3 days, 9/11, 12, and 13. By the time we finished that, he was fine. And he hasn't had a problem since, and that was 3 years ago. And he didn't lose his September. He now has it in a completely different frame of mind. So clearing the memory is going to be very, very powerful. So, Donna, I want you to tap on the side of your hand, and I want you to tell me, you know, how old were you? When? What time of year is this? Tell me as many details as you can.
Okay. It's my I'm in seventh grade, my first year of junior high. I really liked my teacher. And
What class was it?
I think it was like, I'm not sure. I think it was like geography.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure. I think it was geography. And I remember what she looked like. She was tall. She was nice looking. She had, you know, just very pleasant to look at. And she seemed to be caring about all of her students. And I remember that I really wasn't prepared for this test. I never liked tests. Tests always scare me, even if I am prepared. And I remember when we were taking the test, I did kind of look around a little bit, but I wasn't really trying to look at anyone's paper because I couldn't see it anyway. But there was when we got done, we always had to write at the bottom of the test, on my honor and sign my name, our name. So there was a boy that was sitting next to me that told her he thought that I had cheated off of his paper. And so without talking to me or asking if it was true, she just, in the front of the whole class, she crossed out my name on my paper and told me that was a lie. And I was terribly embarrassed and felt like, well, maybe I did cheat. I did kind of look around. Maybe I did see something, and maybe I did write it down. I wasn't prepared, so there must be something that I did to maybe she was right. Maybe I did cheat. And I was extremely upset with myself, and I felt like a liar. I felt like a cheater. I still got a really bad grade, like a D minus. I didn't fail it, but I got a bad grade.
Okay, and so you were like 12 years old, usually in
12. 12, yeah, like 12.
You're 12, and you weren't ready, so you were already negative self-talking because you were mad. You weren't ready, and you knew you weren't going to do very well.
Yeah, I was scared that I wasn't ready. You know, I every test always scared me.
Mm-hmm.
I know I don't know how ready I was, but I never feel like I'm ready for a test.
Right, okay. So no matter how ready you are, you're not ready enough.
Right.
And then you were just kind of looking around the room and not focusing on anything.
No.
But, you know, maybe trying to get inspiration or just something, come to me, please, this answer, please come to me. And so
I really did feel blank, you know, on a lot of his answers.
And so this boy, did you know this boy?
Yeah.
Okay, and you're still tapping, right?
I'm still tapping.
Okay, and was he a mean boy?
I didn't think he was until then.
Okay, so do you think he honestly thought you were tapping or you're cheating?
Yeah, I think he really honestly thought I was, yeah.
Okay. Now, it just makes you wonder, why did he even care, you know, but whatever. 12-year-old boys, what, you know.
Well, I did look over his way. I did do that.
He looked in his direction.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so he makes a blanket judgment about it without any real facts except for the direction of your face.
Right.
And then takes it upon himself to tell the teacher.
Yeah.
And then she, without any discussion or trying to find out facts, takes his word 100% for it.
Yes.
And accuses you in front of everybody.
Yes.
Okay. So that would be very embarrassing. And then you start to believe her, which is from the adult standpoint, it's funny, you know, that you start to think maybe I did cheat.
Well, I did. I thought that, well, maybe I did. Maybe I did see something on this paper. Maybe I did write it down. But but nobody ever checked my paper to see or anything like that.
Right. So, yeah, so it was very unfair, and then yet you made it worse for yourself by your negative self-talk about doubting your own eyes and doubting your own actions and doubting who you were.
Yeah, because I really did want to know what the answers were. I mean, I really did want to get the answers. So I thought, well, maybe I did look on his paper and maybe I did see something. But the desks were not that close. It was hard. And he was sitting on the right side of me. We were in the front row.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that I would take the chance to look at his paper with a teacher right there in front of me.
Right. It doesn't make any sense that you would have done that. But your negative self-talk just made it 100 times worse. If you maybe didn't have that, you'd be like, wait, hey, I didn't cheat. Check our answers.
Yeah, I think I was in shock. I couldn't defend myself at all.
Yeah, well, I think we've all been there, even those of us maybe who don't have as much negative self-talk. You know, when you're so shocked by an accusation that you can't even believe it's happening, let alone have a verbal defense that makes any sense. So you're 12. So that doesn't help anything either. Okay, so just now that you've told the story and tapped on it, I want you to just think again this memory of my teacher accusing me of cheating, and tell me what your number is.
It's about a 6 or 7.
Okay, so it went down a little bit. Now I want you to go back to the burden. I feel burdened by my negative self-talk.
That's gone down to about a 3.
About a 3, okay. So you probably need another round of tapping. I would actually, what I would recommend is you tell the same story exactly again. You may remember other details, but you just say it again. And the actual repetition of the story will help distance you from the emotional intensity of it. So you would just tap and tell that story again, come up with any new details. You can be like, I remember it was raining out. I remember what room we were in. The walls were green. I remember it was a Thursday. I remember it was right before lunch. Any detail that you can remember, you say it out loud, and you tap the whole time.
Okay.
And then that will probably bring that burden down to a 2, 1 or 2 when you do that. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. So do you feel, that you have a good handle on how to use the phrases and the worksheets and everything and then the memories when you need it?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, great. And remember, you can also use the where I feel it in my body technique.
Yeah, I think I'll use it because I'm feeling a real lot of tension in the back of my neck and base of my skull right now.
Okay, so that would be perfect. Like you would describe that sensation, how big is it, what color is it, exact location, and you would, even though I feel this, tension at the base of my neck, blah, 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 and I would do that one as well. But I still think you should probably go through the memory one more time because it was still at a 6.
Okay.
Even if it's unrelated to the burden, it's still traumatic. So it's it's still just something that's a good thing to clear, even if it doesn't affect the burden of self-talk feeling. So
okay.
I would do that, and then if go through the where I feel it in my body, and I bet you'll be down to a 1 on burden, and then you would just go to your next character trait. Which now I've forgotten what that was. I wrote it down. Afraid to step out of my comfort zone. Yeah. So let's just do that one. I just want to see if that changed at all. Say I'm afraid to step out of my comfort zone.
I'm afraid to step out of my comfort zone. That's gone down to probably a 4 or 5.
Oh, wow. Okay. I thought you were going to say an 8, but that's great. So that dropped considerably. So it's just an encouragement for everybody when you think, oh, my goodness, I have this list of 20 things, and they're all 10s, and I'm never going to get through this all. But you can see how much tapping on anything affects everything. So you'll whittle it down, pretty quickly if you make an effort. And I would just highly recommend that you do a little bit every day. Maybe just pick one character trait a day and do that. And if it only takes 5 minutes, you're done, great. If it takes a little bit longer, great. But don't put too much expectations, too much burden on yourself. But just know the more the tapping you do, the more progress you'll see. But you this isn't a race. We're not. There's no prize at the end of the 6 weeks for who got the furthest. It's an ongoing process. An ongoing adventure. So.
I have a question, Amy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
When
I'm tapping, what just came to me is, could I say something about how I wish I would have handled it? I wish I could have stood up for myself or...
Sure, if that feels right to you, if something comes up and you say, I wish I would have said this, I wish I would have said that, just tap that through because you may be storing the energy of I wish I had in your body, which is also not helping you. Another thing you can do with clearing memories is you can go back as an adult and just imagine the scene and imagine you're there helping that little girl and say, hey, teacher, wait a minute. You didn't even ask her if
yeah.
she cheated.
I had thought about that, too. That was another thing that came to my mind.
Yeah, just stand up for that 12-year-old that was bamboozled by her fellow student and her teacher. And you don't have to be mean about it. Maybe that was a little abrupt, but you can just say, wait, how about we get what Donna says happens? How we hear her side of the story, too. And, you know, let Donna talk and let her reimagine the stories if there was an adult that was, you know, more thorough and less snappy
yeah.
to me.
Okay.
So
that feels right to me.
Okay, good. Yeah, and that's kind of fun. You know, it's always fun to, like, especially when you didn't speak up for yourself, to go back and not only speak up for yourself but have someone else stand up for you.
Right.
That always feels good. So yeah, good question. If anyone else, if you're listening, and that what we just talked about was like what, then don't worry about it. You don't need to do it. But if it feels like if that made sense to you and you want to incorporate it, then go for it. Let me just make sure, see if we have any more questions on the webcast. Okay, somebody said they're not in a private place, so they can't volunteer. Another person said they can't call in, so that was just saying why they couldn't volunteer. Great. Okay, well, and just anyone listening, if you know you're going to be on a live call and you haven't been on one yet and you want to be the volunteer, please let me know because, you know, I only we just did Donna again because I know she'll do it and she was on the call and she was available. So I don't want anyone to think we're just playing favorites with Donna, even though she's a great volunteer. I definitely want to tap with as many of you as possible. And if you're feeling a little uncomfortable, you know, I understand that. This really is a small group, and especially the number of people on here live is pretty small. So, I mean, we're talking about half a dozen, maybe 10 at a time most. So, and everyone's in the same place you are. You know, everyone's tapping through issues and memories and, you know, things that maybe you think that sounds stupid, but they're not stupid. I'm here to tell you they're definitely not stupid. And I may laugh, but it's not laughing at you or your memory. It's laughing at, like, how absurd that teacher was to just take that kid's word for it. I mean, that's ridiculous. So, you know, it may seem, or Donna just thinking, maybe I did cheat. I mean, that's kind of funny because she didn't do it on purpose, and if she accidentally saw something, okay, but it's just kind of funny that Donna would even doubt herself, you know, on cheating. So it's not laughing that the memory is silly, but it's laughing the, you know, from the adult standpoint of how, you know, how other adults treat children. So it's a very safe space, I guess is what I'm saying, and we're on your side. All of us are on your side. So if you volunteer, we're here to support you and help you move past your memories and your events or your emotions. So great. Thank you for being part of the live class, and we'll be in the same place next week, and we're going to talk about accepting your good. So that sounds a little counterintuitive, but it is actually hard to accept the good things about yourself as it is easy to accept the bad things about yourself. So we'll go to that next week, and have a great weekend, and I'll talk to you then. Bye-bye.
The conference is now completed. Goodbye.